where the people of God can come in and receive, Father, strength and joy and peace and love and comfort. We thank you, oh God, today that you have brought us together through this week, Lord God, and you've allowed us to come into the house of prayer one more time. And for this, we say thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much, Lord God, for your plan that you have set in motion for our lives. For it is for good and not for evil. And for this, we say thank you. Father, we thank you that you've been patient with us and long-suffering and forbearing, and that you have forgiven us of our sins and created in us a clean heart that we may come before you and worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, oh God. Father, we just feel the spirit of worship and praise. You said in your word, let everything that hath breath praise you, the Lord. So God, we come praising you today. We praise you because you are God, and we're thankful for what you have done. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your anointing that rests in the room. For your word says in Isaiah 10:27, it is the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. So, God, we thank you today that we will leave out of here freer than we've ever been before. Have your way, Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will help me, your humble servant, to speak forth your heart, your mind, your will, and your counsel. I pray in the name, God, in the name of Jesus, that your people will have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, and that they come today, this morning, just to receive of you, Lord God. Father, I feel your presence. Feel your presence. Feel the wind of your Spirit blowing in this place. Have your way in the midst of us. God, that when we leave here, we will truly say that it is good for us to have been here, that we were in the presence of you, Almighty Father. You are our Father. You are our Father. You are our God. You're concerned about us. You're caring about us. You're mindful of us, Father. And I pray that even yet while I'm praying, that the people of God will hear your words and know that you care about us. And not only do you care, but you care enough to respond to our needs. You care enough to respond to our situation. You care enough to respond to our cries and our prayers to you. You said in your word that when the righteous cry, that you hear us and you answer us. You said in Jeremiah that if we call on your name, that you would hear us and answer us and show us great and mighty things. So Jesus, we're calling on your name. Oh, glory to God. You said in Hebrews that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. And as we come boldly before the throne of grace, that you would hear us and help us in our time of need. And we thank you for your mercy that you are providing. We thank you for your grace that is sufficient. That even when we are weak, we are strong. For your strength is made perfect in our weakness. And for this we say thank you, Jesus. Oh God, we bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We thank you for what you're doing in Brooklyn. We thank you for what you're doing over here on this side of the country. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the turning. We thank you for the lifting. We thank you for the deliverance. Father, even yet while I'm praying, Satan, the Lord rebuke you now. And no weapon that is formed against God's people will prosper. And every tongue that rises against God's people in judgment, it shall be condemned. For this is our heritage, because we are the servants of the Most High God. And our righteousness is of you, O God. And if you be for us, who can lay charge against your elect? God, you are for us. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you for the breaking now, God. We thank you for strength that's falling in the room. We thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Because on the day of Pentecost, when you released your spirit, he came with power. So we thank you for your power that's resting in this room. Now, Father, help me in Jesus' name to speak your heart. And then give us an ear to hear. Thank you for your healing virtue. Father, thank you for the testimony of the woman of God through Pastor. Father, it was only to build somebody's faith that if you did it for her, you'll do it for them. Is there anything too hard for God? No, and your arm is not too short to reach us where we are. So we bless you and we honor you. And we thank you for all things. And if we fail to pray for anything in this particular moment, we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Clap your hands and give God great praise. And give him great honor. And I want you to lean over to the person on the left or the right and tell them, I love you and I'm glad to see you today. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. I said, I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Get your Bibles, church. Not going to be long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you speak to somebody? You spoke to them? Hallelujah. Where are the whales at today? Where are the whales? I need you to holler at me. Come on, where are the whales? I need you to holler at me today. Hallelujah. Where are the whales? A woman empowered to live life. Where are the whales? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord. We honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We honor Pastor and Lady Johnson to Pastor Ron and Lady Ron. We honor you to God's people, every minister of the gospel. We are very grateful. I don't come here out of relationship. I don't come out of here. Amen. If I was married, I would want to be referred to. I think I called your wife by your name last time. I did. It's all right. Praise the Lord. But out of relationship, I do love Pastor Chris and I honor him. But I don't come just because we are connected. I come because God says so. And there are timings. I think he reached out last year and I couldn't get here. It didn't work. But I believe that every time that I come here, this church is in movement and shift and motion. And so I'm grateful to be able to share. And I know y'all, he gets on some of your nerves probably constantly saying who I am to him. But you got to know who people are to you. And when you know who people are to you, you don't mishandle relationships. And they don't become dysfunctional and unhealthy. Glory to God. So I'm very grateful to the Lord. I just honor them and very grateful to be here. God blessed us yesterday in a great way. We let some balloons go yesterday. It was very, I want to share this, Pastor, and I'm going to give the word of the Lord real quick. I know y'all are recording. I'm going to try to get through this. But and I pray that some of you women will come that didn't have opportunity, because I understand I've been asked to come back, and I'm willing to do that. I am willing. And I pray that some of you that could not make it, maybe we can get it settled in a way that it can be months out so you can plan to be here. I think one of the ladies said yesterday, she brought me a beautiful gift this morning. I don't even see her, but I thank you for that. But she said, what happens, the devil will make you think, I got to wash clothes, I got to clean up the house, I got to do this as a woman. Well, sometimes you got to put all that aside and it'll get done. Praise the Lord. The house won't fall down, and make your way to come and receive for yourself. Because you know what? You'll go to get them nails done. You'll go get that hair done. Come and get your soul done. Amen. You got to make that investment. It ain't going to cost you nothing. But yesterday, one of the exercises that the Lord gave us was balloons. He gave us, I walked around most of the class with the balloon, Sister Erica, in my hand. And I would go get the balloon, and I would move it, and I would just let it go. And at the end, the point was about the freedom that the balloon had. And I asked if the balloon was free. And people were like, yeah, it was free, because it was just free to do whatever. If it wanted to go to the left, if it wanted to go to the right. But then one woman said it was free with limitations. Because it was free, but there were limitations. Because it could only go not as high as its potential, but as high as the ceiling would allow it. So it was free to a point. I got balloons for all the rest of the women, and we went outside. And I took that same balloon, and I went outside, and I released it. And that bloom went as high as it had the potential to go. But this was what was powerful about it. That's what I wanted to get to, baby girl. This was what was powerful. So as I let the first bloom go, out of the blue comes this bird. I don't know where it come from. It's a true story. It happened. This bird showed up out of nowhere. And that bird came near that balloon. And as that balloon kept elevating, the bird kept elevating. As the balloon elevated, the bird elevated. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen, but yet I knew it was God. Because as high, we watched that balloon until it got out of our sight, as we watched that bird until it got out of our, that happened for real. And that was God saying to his daughters, this liberty that I'm showing you, this freedom, as this balloon is rising in the air, as it's going higher and higher, he said, I want you just that free. I don't know. Go get your own balloon today, woman that wasn't here. Go get your own balloon and stand out and let it go and watch how high it gets. And know that that is the level and dimension of freedom that God wants you to have and to experience. But that bird was amazing to come up out of nowhere. God has a way of confirming. The Bible says he'll confirm his word with signs following. And sure enough, he sent us a sign yesterday. So women, thank you for the opportunity to serve you on yesterday. And Pastor, thank you, because I know that people's lives were changed. One husband said to me, thank you. This, thank you, I appreciate it. You're welcome, my pleasure. Praise the Lord. Amen. Get your Bibles. I'm not going to be long. I have to get back upstate. We have service today at 2:45, so I got to get out of here. Job chapter 14. I believe this is a word from the Lord. Thank God for the choir. Thank God for the babies that traveled with me yesterday, and then my brother and sister, or sister-in-law and nephew, niece and nephew is here, and Jeremy and Erica's here with me this morning to help me, so I appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Is that Quentin or no? Am I looking at someone I think is Quentin? He didn't move, so that's not him. But he looked like somebody I know that I hadn't seen in a while. But praise the Lord. Thank God for the choir today. You're doing a great job. Thank you for the anointing. You stay encouraged. Amen. And you do the will of the Lord, what he sent you for. And the precious lady that was singing that song. Yes, ma'am, her. Miss Winnie. And they tell me she's a principal in somebody's school. I would want my child to be sitting under that principal, singing that song like that. That's pretty awesome. I appreciate you. Yeah, to know we got people like that over our kids in school. Listen, that's a blessing. Job 14, are you there? Will y'all stand with me for the reading of the word? Job 14, verses 13 and 14. And I'm really more prophetic than I am coming from a proper preaching position, the hermeneutics, homiletics, all of that stuff I know, but I'm here on assignment. The word of the Lord says like this, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. Now, this is Job's issue. Until, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past. He's talking to God. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past. See, sometimes you got to understand something. When you're going through something, it ain't always the devil. As hard as it may seem in your life, it's really God up to something. If you'll understand that, you'll go through it differently. I just helped somebody get free right then and there, just like in that few moments right there. He said, if you'll hide me and keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time, Lord, help mercy. Get yourself together, Nate. And remember me. Look at somebody and say, God's getting ready to remember me. He said, if a man shall die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. I need you just to look at somebody on the left and right and say, season change. There's a change of plans. Come on, take your seats for a few moments. Season. Note I did not say seasons are changing. I said season change. In the book of Psalm 65, I believe it is, around verse number 11, that particular text talks about God crowning the year with goodness. It talks about how God has established, when you look up that word crowneth, it really means surrounds, how God surrounds the year with goodness. And may I suggest to you that I'm convinced that as we prepare to enter into this year, that the plan of God was to surround this year with goodness for each one of us. But may I suggest that for some of you, it's been everything but what God intended. Is there a few people? I've experienced some things. Some of you maybe have experienced some things or have experienced some situations that may not look like goodness. You may have experienced some things that may not have felt like goodness. But however, what you've got to understand is that when God decrees or declares a thing, that it is so. And if anything ever changes outside of that, you have to be confident that God is in control of that also. Regardless of what happened in this generation and hour, let me say to every person in this room, it is imperative that you maintain the understanding that God is in control. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how it looks. You've got to be confident that God knows what's up. Just tell your neighbor, God knows what's up. He knows. He knows what's up. He knows what's going on around you. A couple of Sundays, actually it may have been a week ago today, I woke up on a Sunday morning and I had experienced a vision and I heard the Lord say something. Now listen, I heard the Lord simply say this, season change. I didn't hear season changing, seasons changing. I heard season change. But what was weird about me hearing that seasons change was that I felt an emotion with what I heard out of God's voice. I heard it, that there was an emotion attached to the word of God. And the emotion I felt was one of excitement. It was later on in the day or in that moment, in that morning, that after I heard season change, then I heard there's a change of plans. He said, I need you to tell my people that there's a change of plan. He said, tell them that I have set some things in motion and that there are some things that are happening and that there are some things that have been happening, but I've had a change of mind, which is going to create a change of plan, which is going to bring an excitement for you that you did not expect. Are there a few people that can hear what I'm saying to you? Excitement is coming. Change is coming. God says, tell them that in the change of plans, there's going to be a change of direction. There's going to be a change of position. There's going to be a change of emphasis. There's going to be a change of focus. Glory to God. And you're going to have faith. Everybody shout at me, faith. You're going to have faith to even hear what I'm saying to you and have enough faith to believe that God is going to change things to where things are really going to manifest, and there's going to be an excitement that's coming along with what God has in store for you. But you're going to have to be patient and wait on the Lord and not abort the process that God has set you in, because it's really, I know it looks like trouble, but I promise you it's a setup. So look at your neighbor and say, God is setting me up. Look how you're looking at me. It's all right. It don't matter. It's only for those that will receive. Glory to God. Because let me tell you something. You have to be honest about where you are in order to receive what God is saying to you. And the problem, I said this to women on yesterday, the problem, there's a fake meter in the room. People want to be fake and phony because I ain't gonna move. Ain't nothing wrong in my life. My life is great. Everything is perfect. So there's this fake meter, men and women in the room, because you want people to have a perception about you that's a lie. And I told the babies yesterday, listen, every lie ain't told. Some of them act it out. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you something. Get your attitude together. Because if you're going to be here open to receive what God is trying to tell you. Glory to God, your life all jacked up and you got mess going on. They about to foreclose on your house, repossess your car, turn your water off, and you want to sit here like this. When God is saying, I'm coming to tell you that there's been a change of plans and things are getting ready to turn. Been a change of plan, and he's informing the devil that there's a change of plans. Let me just go on to the text and roll on up out of here. This text is very familiar. We need to stop saying that though to a preacher, because you know what, it's not as familiar as it was back in the day, because people don't read their Bibles. So we can't really say it's a familiar text no more, because people are not familiar with it. So let me just go ahead and help you. Job, let me talk about him for a minute. Job, people call him a character. I call him a man in the Bible that somehow or another God chose to use his personal situation to place in the Bible that it may speak life and help us. So here we find Job. The Bible says the interesting thing about Job was that he was a very religious man, which back in that time, to be religious was good, because salvation had not come. So to be a keeper of the law and to be a keeper of the feast and the rituals that were established, you were considered a religious man. So he kept up with the feast. He went to the tabernacle. He would pray. Job really had a great life. Not only did he have it going on with God, he had it going on. He had money. He had possessions. He had things. You know, he had all of that stuff. I would suggest he had a good balanced life. Because some people got money and they ain't got no God. And then some people got God and ain't got no money. Somebody just shout, God, I want it all. God, I want both. I want both. Eh? You made it all, so I'll take it all. Praise the Lord. And so we find Job. It's very interesting, because God testified about Job, and he said he's a righteous man. He's a good man. It's something when God will testify good about you. He's a righteous man. He's a good man. He escheweth evil. In other words, he pleased God. Y'all, come on, hear me. Job pleased God. Job was all right with God. God loved Job, and Job loved God. Job loved his family. He was a family man, because he would make sure that once a year he would go in and make a sacrifice on behalf of his sons and daughters to make sure that they were covered, because he could do that at that time. So he was a family man. He was a well-rounded man. He was a good man. Things were going perfect for Job until one day. Until one day, God and Satan had a conversation. And when they had the conversation, God had the nerve to say to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? See, sometimes God will be the one that will put you in trouble. Because Job was minding his business and everything was perfect and well. But then God, he asked him, Job had presented himself when he was talking to the sons of men. And God said to Job, where you been? He said, I've been to and fro throughout the earth. I've been everywhere. And he said, well, I just want to have you considered my servant Job. You've been everywhere, but have you been down his road?
The text says that he told him, listen, he said, I can't even get to him because you got a hedge around him. Oh, come on here, Holy Ghost. I feel power in the room. It was not that Satan had never considered him. Satan couldn't get to him. Let me share this point with you. God has a hedge around you until he needs to do something with you. Come on, I need you to hear that. Everything ain't the devil. Some of it's just you with your nasty self. Everything ain't the devil. The devil made me do it. That's what Geraldine said. No, the devil didn't make you do everything. The devil can only get to you when God chooses to allow the hedge to be removed. And if he's allowing the hedge to be removed, glory to God, you've got to know that it is for a purpose. Go read the text. You don't look at me in dismay and discouragement. What is she talking about? If you read your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. Go read it and study it this week. He said, I can't as much as get to him. Because you got a hedge. That's what he said, Dad. He said, you got a hedge around him. You got him covered. I cannot get to him. That's why things are well. I can't get to him. It ain't that I didn't consider him. I just can't get to him. The text says that they went on and God said to him, listen, I'm going to release him into your hands, but you can't kill him. I'm going to release him over into your hand, but you cannot kill him. So, oh my God, Lord have mercy. If the devil only knew, he wouldn't have taken the assignment. The Bible says in the text, the Bible says that God released Job into the hands of Satan. And in one day, there were four different calamities that came on Job that he lost every single thing that he had in one single day. He lost his possessions and he lost his sons and his daughters. I want to help somebody. You ain't seen trouble until you lose everything and all of your children die at one time. You ain't seen trouble. That's the kind of trouble that he experienced in that one day. He experienced it in that one day. But you've got to understand that God was the one that allowed him to experience what he experienced because God had a change of plan. Somebody shout, season change. Glory to God. He was in a season of wonderfulness. Things were beautiful. Things were glorious. Things were happy. He was happy. Everybody was well. As a matter of fact, when his children died, they were partying. They were having a party at the eldest brother's house. So everything was going well. But all of a sudden, something happened in that one day, and the season changed. But then the text says, even after that, that wasn't enough. I don't want you to be mad at God. Because that wasn't enough. Because the next thing that happened to him, Satan went to him again. And when Satan went to him the second time, he put balls all over his body. So now you done lost everything you had. You've having to bury all your children. And now you're laying with balls all over your body. God wasn't the one thing enough. Some of you said that, God, when is it going to be enough? God, when is it going to be enough? What did I do wrong? God, what did I do so bad? What did I do? Listen, everything ain't because you've done something wrong. Glory to God, things happen because God's getting ready to change your season. I'm just about done. So the text says that Job, you know, and I've taught this before because people say that Job never complained. That's not the truth. Job regretted the day he was born. Have you ever been going through so hard that you're like, God, listen, Why was I even born? Listen, as a matter of fact, you can just take me out. Listen, I'm good. I repent of all my sins. God, I'm sorry for every person I hurt, every time I cussed, everything I done wrong. And just come on here and get me and take me home. Have you ever experienced that level of pain and being overwhelmed and being outdone? And Job was at that point where he was saying, God, listen, come, just take me. Just listen, take me. I regret the day. I hate the day that I was born. He was overwhelmed. Glory to God. He even went on to say here now in the text where we are in Job 14, he said, listen, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. Isn't it something that he thought the grave would be a hiding place that would keep him from everything, that would hide him away from all that he was going through? He said that you would keep me in secret until, and that's what's interesting in the King James, because the word THY, thou wrath. At some point, Job began to understand. He understood who it was that had come against him, but he also understood who was the author. He said, God, I understand this is your doing. God, can you just, I got it. I know it's you, but it's overwhelming. He said, listen, if you could just hide me in the grave. And then he said, this is what blessed me. He said that thou wouldest appoint me a set time. In other words, God, when is this season getting ready to be over? Y'all ain't saying nothing. God, when is this season getting ready to change? When is this getting ready? God, would you appoint me a time that I can come up out of here? Look at your neighbor and say, God's getting ready to set you a time. Hallelujah. He said, can you just set me a time? Can you just appoint me a set time when all of this is going to be over? Can you just set me an appoint time? I don't want to have to die out of this. I want to live out of this. That was good. That blessed me. I want to live out of this. I don't want to die in it. I understand it has the potential to kill me, but God, I'm choosing to live and not die and declare your works, because I know that there's better days after this. I don't want to get too prophetic, Brooklyn. I'm talking to this Brooklyn, this particular church. The best way that I can explain it to you is that season change has come to this house. Season change. Things are changing. Things are changing. You are changing. The house is changing. The ministry is changing. The oil of God that's been flowing in this house is changing. And there's coming fresh oil in the house. There's coming freshness. There's coming renewedness. There are fresh waters pouring. Maybe all of you haven't been going through anything, but there are a lot of you who have been sitting on the edge saying, God, listen, I don't know if it's going to get any better, but I come to tell you it's going to get better. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but for the children of the Almighty God, I want to help you. I need you to hold fast to your faith. I need you to hold to God's unchanging hand. I need you to be still and know that God sees and he knows all things, and that the season is about to change. There's a change of plan. It's a change of plan. It's a change of plan. It's very interesting, because he asked a question, if a man die, shall he live again? And if you look at that, it's really out of place. That don't even make no sense what he was saying. Because then he goes on to say, after he said, Lord, if you will appoint me a set time, he goes on to say, all the days of my appointed time will I wait. I'm going to wait. Why? I'm going to wait till my change come. Somebody shout, change is coming. Okay, maybe I'll help you, because when I heard the Lord speak to me personally, I was like, God, listen, I am very grateful. I know what I've been through, but I know where I am. And he said, Renee, he said, listen, he said, you're in a good place. He says, but there's a change of season coming for you as well. He said, the change of season is coming. He said, it's going to blow your mind. The Lord said, I'm going to the next dimension. I'm going to the next level of what I have promised. I kept hearing the Lord say, tell him the promise still remains, that I haven't changed my mind. He said, I've changed the course, but I haven't changed my mind. And I've allowed the enemy to do some things and to work some things. He said, but let him know I'm behind it. So let's roll on. So the text says, and read it. But long story short, Job suffered a little while. Somebody say a little while. Paul said, my affliction is lightened but for a moment. But the glory that shall come out of it will be greater. Because there's glory coming out of this. Tell your neighbor, there's glory coming out of your this. There's glory coming out of this. The text says that after a while, there was a set time that God heard the prayer of Job. God heard him. The Bible says that after Job had tried to confront his friends who were trying to find out why he was going through. Sometimes you got to tell people it's none of your business. You mind your business. And I'm going to mind mine. Don't try to figure out why I'm where I am. This is my and God's business and none of yours. Because people will try to figure it out, you know. They'll try to figure out and do all kind of talking and all kind of, that was the kind of friends that Job had. But the Bible says that it come a time where God had now turned this man that was filled with balls and had lost everything that he had. The Bible says that God shifted him now to pray for his friends. Season change. Sometime when season change, God will have you praying for your enemies. Look how somebody like, I ain't praying for him. I saw you. I heard you. What? Please. Yes. Sometimes God will shift the scenario and you'll end up having to pray for your enemies because that's exactly what happened to Job. The Bible says that Job turned and began to pray for his friends because he felt that things were changing, even in the state that he was in. Listen, I rebuke that pitiful spirit. I rebuke that spirit of misery and that spirit of depression that's gone all over the land. Listen, God is good to you. Listen, you are not your sad story. I'm going to say that again. You are not your sad story. You are not where you've been. See, somebody should have shouted right there. Not only are you not where you've been, he didn't let what come on you that came on others. Because of where you've been and who you were with. Some of them are dead in the grave and you still alive and body well. Good doctor's report. Must I go all the way? You're not where you've been. Neither has God allowed on you. Glory to God. There's a song that says you don't look like what you've been through. Glory. Oh, God, I thank you. Hallelujah. So the text says that God now has Job to pray for his friends. And when he prays, the Bible says that God turned his season. Sister Frenchie, when he began to pray, God turned his season, and there was a season change. There was a change of plans. The Bible says so much so that when he prayed for his friends, that God turned the things that were going on around him. And when God turned him, the Bible says that this man received double than what he had before, that God had given him more than he had ever had before. He gave him back every son and daughter through birth again, that he ended up having a total of 14 sons and 6 daughters. No, 14, 6, 4, yep, that many. Uh-huh, twice as many. He ended up having twice as much, hallelujah, than what he had before, because God changed the plan. See, God will say to the devil, that's enough. If I'm preaching just to one or two people, I'm good. Hallelujah. And so I come to prophesy today to tell you that your season of struggle and strife and trouble and lack and not enough and all of that is over, because God is saying there's been a change of plan and I have come to turn. Somebody shout, my season is just turned as a result of the word of God. Your season has just, there has been a change of plan. Brooklyn, there's a change of plan. There's a season of change coming. And everything around you is getting ready to change. Some of you have been waiting on God. You've been waiting on God. God, you not moving. You see my situation. And you heard a word. And what the devil has made you say, it was a lie. And they just lied. It was a lying prophet. Lying. They just lied. God said, no, it wasn't a lie. He said you needed to be like Job and wait on it. God said, I'm not a man that I should lie. God can't lie. But what God has declared, God said, I will bring it to pass. And you've got to understand, you've got to be ready and you've got to be prepared for what God is getting ready to do. You've got to intentionally sit here and change your mind, change your attitude, change your disposition, and get yourself ready for the season change, for the change of plans that God has planned for your life. And I just keep hearing God say, tell them it's working for their good. Lord, have mercy. Everything that you have dealt with, oh my God, I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, not only is season changing, but I'm changing the hearts of people concerning you. Yeah, oh, God Almighty, I feel the Holy Ghost. Some of you need God to touch the heart of some people that's holding up your destiny and holding up your careers, and you know the will of God for your life. And God said, I'm getting ready to touch these hard-hearted people, and I'm getting ready to turn their hearts, and they ain't going to know what hit them. Somebody shout, season change. The heart of the king is in his hand. He's getting ready to change it. God's getting ready to give many of you your life back. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I know what the will of God is for my life. Just look at somebody and say, I ain't crazy. I know that's what the devil said, but I ain't crazy. My mind is clear. I am clear. I am focused. I'm not crazy. I'm going to wait because God promised me. Pastor Chris, I don't know, and I don't want this part on the air. Figure it out in your editing. You can leave it playing. You can leave it playing, but if you put it out there on the airways, I don't want this part on there. But I need you to understand something. Pastor, let me say something. You've been doing this 10 years. You've been doing this 10 years. But I come today in a whole different frame of mind to say to you that God says you have not begun to scratch the surface